My guitar is fine. There we go. Now you're cooking.
I have 10 back. Yeah. There. We are now also going to enter into our ministry of prayer portion of the service. If our prayer teams would come forward, take this opportunity to get your hearts right with God. Get rid of whatever junk is on your mind, whatever is blocking you from being able to hear from God this morning. Just get rid of that. Let God speak to you clearly today. Use this time to do that. Spend the time in prayer. Come up, pray with our prayer teams. Go before the cross. Sing along with the worship team. Whatever it takes, get your minds right with God right now.
You have my heart, and I am yours forever. You are my strength, God of grace and power. And everything you hold in your hands, still you make time for me. I can't understand. I praise you, God of earth and sky. How beautiful is your unfailing love. My rock, the one I hold on to. You are my song, and I sing for you. And everything you hold in your hands, still you make time for me. I can't understand. Praise you, God of earth and sky. How beautiful is your unfailing love, unfailing love. And you never change, God, you remain the Holy One. My unfailing love, unfailing love.
Your love is unfailing, Lord. I just want to thank you this morning, God. God, no matter how many times, Lord, we fail you, God, you are faithful. You are always faithful to us, Lord. The kind of love you give us is unconditional, God. God, I pray this morning that, God, we wouldn't take that for granted, Lord. But Lord, we would just honor you, God. And just praise your name, Lord, this morning. Because you're worth it, God. And God, if there be anything, Lord Jesus, in our lives, God, that we're struggling with, God, that we just don't have the strength to carry on, the God, that we would come before you now, God. God, help that to help it. God, help us to make that, God, a part of our everyday life, God. Every morning we evaluate, Lord Jesus, is there anything, God, that's standing between us, God? Is there anything, God, that's causing me to stumble that, Lord, I need to lay down? Is there anything inside of me that needs to be broken, God? That, God, I could come to you with clean hands and a pure heart because you're worth it, God. But God, that I may walk in the power of your Spirit every day, Lord Jesus, doing your will, knowing good and well, God, that your will is the best for my life. That, God, I wouldn't have life if it wasn't for you. Lord, we need you, God. We need to be desperate for you every day, God. What you have in store for us, God, we couldn't even fathom. God, let us not forget the hope we have in you. Hungry, I come to you, for I know you satisfy. I am empty, but I know not run dry. So I wait for you. So I wait for you. So I wait for you. Yes, I wait for you.
Isaiah 40 says, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth.
Thank you, Lord.
He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. If you're tired this morning, if life is wearing you out, if it's wearing you down, you just don't have the strength anymore to do it on your own. You don't have to do it on your own. Your Heavenly Father is here, and He wants to give you the strength to get through today and to get through tomorrow and the next day. Whatever it is you're going to encounter, you don't have to face it alone. Let's sing this song one more time. Give your cares to God today. Give your burdens to God today. You don't have to bear them alone.
Up your voices. So I wait for you. So I wait for you. Yes, I wait for you. I'm falling on my knees.
Thank you, everybody. Prayer teams, worship team, you can be seated. So, let me pray before we get into today's message. Is that all right with you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for showing up here today. I thank you for your presence. Thank you for your power. I thank you for your grace. Lord, right now I just ask that you anoint my lips. As Jeremiah said, I pray that you would anoint my lips and let me say exactly what you want me to say today. Not what I want to say, but what you want to speak to your church today. In Jesus' name, amen. So, We started a series last week on lessons from the life of David. You remember that? And we have a new verse that we are memorizing as a congregation as we go through this series. You guys remember that? 1 Samuel 16, 7b. It's there on the screen behind me. Let's all read it together, shall we? It says, "Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Say it one more time. "Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." 1 Samuel 16, 7b. Go ahead and take that off the screen there, Debbie. Go to the next slide. Let's all say it together again. You ready? "Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Very good. Keep working on that. We gave you little cards last week with that verse on it. Yeah, hopefully you put those somewhere where you'll be looking at it every day and reviewing it every day and getting to know that verse, getting it ingrained in your brain so that when you need it, you can pull it out and throw it at the devil, right? Because the devil wants you to think that you're worthless. The devil wants you to think that God can't use you. I mean, look at you. You're horrible. You're a horrible person. You're ugly, inside and out. That's what the devil wants you to think. But God knows your heart. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. It's kind of what I'm talking about today. We're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 16, talking about the anointing of David, the anointing of a shepherd boy to be king. And if you want to turn there in your Bibles, 1 Samuel chapter 16. It's also on the screen behind me. Let's do something a little different today. Let's all stand together in honor of the reading of God's word. Can we do that? While I read this passage, verses 1 through 13. Remember, leading up to this passage, Samuel in the past has anointed Saul to be king. Saul started out as a godly king, then he turned away from God. God turned his back on Saul and said, "I'm going to raise up somebody who's after my own heart to be king." And so he's told Samuel this, and Samuel's a little bit sad about that. In verse 1 of chapter 16, it says this. It says, "The Lord said to Samuel, 'How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king.' But Samuel said, 'How can I go? Saul will hear about it and kill me.' The Lord said, 'Take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate.' Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, 'Do you come in peace?' And Samuel replied, 'Yes, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me.' Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab, Jesse's oldest son, and thought, 'Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord.' But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at.'" And here's our verse. "Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, 'The Lord has not chosen this one either.' Jesse then had Shema pass by, but Samuel said, 'Nor has the Lord chosen this one.' Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, 'The Lord has not chosen these.' So he asked Jesse, 'Are these all the sons you have?' 'There is still the youngest,' Jesse answered, 'but he is tending the sheep.' Samuel said, 'Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives.' So he sent and had him brought in. He was ruddy, with a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, 'Rise and anoint him. He is the one.' So Samuel took the horn of oil and appointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. Samuel then went to Ramah." You may be seated. I So David was called by God to be king of Israel. God had a specific plan for his life. He was anointed by God. And what I want to get across to you this morning is that God has a plan for your life too. You have been anointed for something specific in your life, a specific task that God has brought you to this place to do. Some of us have been called to be pastors, teachers, church leaders. Some of us have been called to be missionaries or evangelists. Some of us, all of us, have been called to serve in the church in some capacity. But God has a plan for each one of your lives. He loves you, and he has a plan for you. So I want to talk to you about that today. There are three aspects of God's plan for our lives that we can draw out of this story. You have a sermon note sheet in your worship guide. You can pull that out and write on those if you want. Three aspects of God's plan for our life that we can take from this story of David. First of all, God's plans are not always visible. God's plans are not always visible. We can't always see the end of the road, right? We don't know exactly where God's taken us, but we know the next step that we've been given, and it's our job to follow through on that step that we've been given, the last thing we've been told to do. That's what we're supposed to do. God's plans weren't revealed completely even to Samuel, who was God's prophet, right? He was the one who was on the same wavelength as God. God didn't even tell him exactly what was coming. All he said was, go to Bethlehem, have a feast. I'm going to tell you who to anoint. It's one of Jesse's sons. That's all he told him. And so Samuel said, okay. And he followed orders, did what God told him to do. The important thing to remember as we go through our life is that God thinks long term. He's not always going to give you exactly what you want right at this moment, because it may not be good for you in the long run. God thinks long term. Everything that happens to you is building to something. It's building to a crescendo, the ultimate thing that God has for you. Everything that happens to you is leading up to that. Long term. God had been working on David for hundreds of years. Did you know that? If you look back to the story of when the Israelites were coming into the promised land and they were conquering Jericho, and there was Rahab who let the spies into the city and showed them around and hid them when the soldiers came looking for them and let them out the window, and they said, okay, hang a scarlet rope in your window when we come to conquer the city, and you and your family will be spared. That was Rahab. Rahab is one of David's ancestors. Rahab married a Jew, an Israelite, and eventually through the family line, that's where Jesse and David came along. God was working on it even back then. He had the king of Israel in mind. And Rahab's son was Boaz, who is the one who married Ruth, the Moabitess that I told you about a month ago. Boaz and Ruth, they were in the lineage of King David. God was planning this for hundreds of years, working out the details so that it led to David being a shepherd boy, son of Jesse, on that day and being anointed by Samuel as king over Israel. God is working out something for you. All the details right now behind the scenes are being worked out so that you can accomplish the task that he has for you. He has a plan for your life. God's choices are surprising sometimes, aren't they? I mean, all of Jesse's older sons went in front of Samuel, and Samuel said, oh, surely this is the one, surely this is the one. Nope. Finally got to the end of the line, and it wasn't the one. Is there anybody else? Do you have any other sons, Jesse? Oh, yeah, there's just the kid. The runt of the litter. Didn't even call him by name. He said, ah, he's the youngest. He's out tending the sheep. He doesn't count. Samuel said, send for him. Sent for him. He got there. That's one. God's choices are surprising sometimes. I mean, Jesse's older sons were probably better fits in our eyes for what it means to be a king. You know, I mean, Eliab, the oldest son, his name means God is Father. I mean, can you have a better name for a king than that? God is Father, you know? It's like, wow, this guy's holy. This guy was named after God. And he was probably did a lot of physical labor, so he's probably a strong, well-built man, you know? But we find out later, God knows his heart, because we find out later that there were some jealousy issues, there were some anger issues in Eliab. We're going to talk about next week in the story of David and Goliath. Eliab's heart wasn't mature. He wasn't right with God, so he would not have made a good king, even though by human sight it looked like he would. Then Abinadab, the second oldest son, his name means, my father is noble. Isn't that kind of egotistical for a dad to name his kid? My father is noble. It's like me naming Isaac, my daddy's awesome. You know, this is my daddy's awesome Johnson. Welcome. We just call him awesome for short. Awesome Johnson. My daddy's awesome. No, that's like, you know, egotism. But God didn't choose him either. And then there was Shema, whose name means astonishment. So something obviously happened at his birth that was surprising. Either something about his features when he came out or something about the way he was born. Maybe he was born early. He was kind of a surprise. Astonishment. That would be a great name for a king because, you know, wow, he's astonishing. He's a great man. Astonishment that God raised him to be king. But no, God didn't choose him either. He chose the youngest. He chose the runt of the litter. A shepherd boy, and raised him up to be king. A lot of times we see people, we fall into this trap, right? We see people and we see them, how they act at church, how they interact with people, and we say, oh, that guy would make a good pastor someday. He's handsome. He's a good-looking guy. He'd make a good pastor someday. No. Obviously, God chooses, not as man chooses. Or we see somebody and we see that they have good business sense, they're good with their family. Oh, yeah, we'd make a good council member or church leader. But God knows their heart. Maybe they wouldn't. There could be somebody in this room that you wouldn't look twice at. God wants to use them to do great things. Maybe you're somebody people wouldn't look twice at. God wants to use you to do great things for his kingdom. David was a shepherd boy. I'm talking about how God's plans aren't always visible. David was a shepherd boy. He had no idea what was coming, right? He was just out in the fields tending the sheep, and this guy, servant, probably came up and said, hey, your dad wants you. There's some prophet guy who wants to see you. Okay. Trotted in from the fields, and boom, he's king. Wow. I'm sure he wasn't expecting that. You know, it's like me being pastor. What are we in now, August? If you had told me in March, just 5 months ago, that I would be a senior pastor, I would have laughed in your face and probably wet myself just a little bit. There's no way that this was my plan. God had a plan. And they're not always visible. God's plans aren't always visible. We don't always see them coming. But we've got to just listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit inside us. Do the last thing God told us to do. And as we walk that path, he'll lead us to where he wants us to go. you have no idea what God has for you in the future. If you knew, it might terrify you. Just take it one step at a time. Do the last thing God told you to do. Every task that you're given, everything that you're being told to do is building you up to be where God wants you to be. So just take it one step at a time and say, yes, Lord. Do what you've been told to do, and it'll lead into something spectacular. But you got to say yes. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." God knows. He knows where it's all headed. So you got to trust him. So God's plans aren't always visible. Second of all, God's plans are not always easy. I think David would have said yes to God if he knew what was coming. If he knew he was going to be running through the desert for years, hiding from King Saul, who's trying to kill him. I don't know. We don't know. Because he didn't know what was coming. But God's plans aren't always easy. Just because you're in God's will and you're doing what he's telling you to do does not mean your life is going to be a piece of cake. In fact, it might be the opposite. Because when you're in God's will and when you're following orders, that makes the devil angry. He doesn't like that at all. And so he is going to come after you. If you're on fire for God, if you're making an impact in the world for his kingdom, the devil's going to try to take you down. The good news is you don't have to stand alone. We've got God on our side. And if you're staying connected to him by praying every day, talking to him, reading your Bible, and if you're fellowshipping with Christians, getting encouragement from your fellow believers, you can withstand any attack that the devil throws at you. God's plans aren't always easy. The tough times that we go through in life, in fact, the tough times that we go through in life, if we let them, God will use them to help shape us into the men and women of God that he wants us to be. They're going to develop us into what God wants us to ultimately do. Like I said, every step along the way is preparing you for what's coming. Even the hard times, God's going to use the good and the bad to help shape you into what he wants you to be. And it's hard sometimes to remember that when we're going through the bad times. When we're going through, right, the rough spots in life. When we're tired, exhausted, job stinks, right? Our marriage is on the rocks, it's hard, fighting a lot. It's hard to remember that God is using those things to shape us into what he wants us to be. Stay close to God, and it'll all work out okay. James 1:2-4 says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." So when you're going through the tough times, it's building you up. When life is easy, we're not getting built up. When you exercise, right, you are breaking down those muscles so that they build back up stronger, right? That's what exercise is. When you work out, lift weights, run, whatever, you're breaking down the muscles so that when they heal and come back, they're stronger. And if you're not working out, if you're just taking it easy, your muscles are going to get weak and flabby. It's like that also with your life. If life is too easy, It's easy to get flabby spiritually. Weak and flabby. But when the tough times come, that's why it says consider it pure joy. When the tough times come, that's like exercise for your spiritual muscles. You get a workout. It tears you down a little bit. But when you build back up, it's going to be stronger. That's how God uses the tough times in life. To make us stronger for what's ultimately to come. So God's plans aren't always visible. They're not always easy. And thirdly, God's plans are not always possible on our own. Right? In fact, if you could do it on your own and you don't need God, it's probably not God's plan. Did Samuel believe that God could raise a shepherd boy up to be king of Israel? I think he did. I think he did because he was a prophet. He had seen God do greater things than that. Did David believe it? We don't know. But we do know that he allowed Samuel to anoint him king over Israel. And what happened then? And this is the coolest thing. If you look at verse 13 of the chapter we're looking at today, it says, "From that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power." That's cool. The Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. And when you allow God to rule your life and follow his leading, then the same thing is going to happen to you. The Spirit of God is going to come upon you in power because you're in his will. You're anointed by him for a specific task. When you're doing that, God's Spirit is going to come upon you in power. You're going to have all the strength, energy, power that you need to accomplish what he's given you. He will never give you something to do that he has not given you the tools and the power through his Spirit to accomplish. You can't do it on your own. You can't do it on your own. And if you try, you're going to fail. But if you're following God, leaning on him, getting your power from him, you can't fail. His plans aren't possible on our own. Only possible with God. When God tells us to do something, we don't need to worry about the results. We just need to do the last thing that God told us to do. Let him worry about the results. Luke 18:27, Jesus is talking to his disciples and he says, "What is impossible with man is possible with God." It's exactly the point I'm making. What's impossible with man is possible with God. In Ephesians 3:20, I close the service a lot of times with this verse. It says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us." Immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. That seems pretty impossible to me. If I can't even think of it, it's probably not possible. But the second part of the verse is what really grabs me. "According to his power that is at work within us." We've got to be available so that his power can work through us to accomplish immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. And that's cool that he wants to use me to accomplish immeasurably more than I can ask or imagine. He wants to use you to accomplish immeasurably more than you can ask or imagine. He wants to work through you to do that. That's cool. But you got to be available. Our response to God's plan needs to be yes. Whatever he's asking you to do, and you know what it is, if you've been fighting God on something, it's in your head right now. Just say yes. He's got amazing plans. But we're never going to see him if we don't say yes. Let's have a word of prayer. If our worship team can come back up here. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you want to use imperfect, insignificant people like me. And you want to use everybody in this room, Father. Thank you for that. And Lord, I along with, I hope, everybody in this room am willing to say yes, Lord. Whatever you want me to do. You have amazing plans for us. You have amazing plans for Pathway. You have amazing plans for Tucson. We just say yes to you. Let's sing this old chorus a cappella. I don't think the band has it. It's Yes, Lord, Yes. You guys know this? Yes, Lord, yes. To your will and to your way. Yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. Amen. We're now going to worship the Lord with his tithes and our offerings, if the ushers would come forward as we close the service. But as you go through your life this week, listen for God's voice. The little tasks that he's giving you, they're all building up to what God ultimately has for you in your life. So say yes to him this week. Lord, I pray for these tithes and offerings that you would bless them, Lord. Multiply them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hungry, I come to you, for I know you satisfy. I am empty. This morning, your will, God. Jesus.
Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. You're dismissed.